Blog Talk Radio.
Mr. Summer, we bless with blessings, with food. Me a funny guy, the blessings are running down. Me a dead, if I drink out a half a glass of copper and over, what's to be?
I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed.
I'm a priest. Right now, man, you know, say me well blessed. In my life, a pure peace and happiness. In my face, man, you can't find no stress. Me love God, so no doubt me, I confess. Jesus Christ, I'm my Lord, I'm my Savior. Jesus Christ, Him is my Redeemer. Jesus Christ, Him is my Provider. Jesus Christ, Him is my Protector. Right now, I am just the one I'm dead. I'm the one I'm just to be disappointed. Right now, church, I'm just too blessed. Just too blessed to be blessed. I am too blessed. I'm too blessed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed.
Yo, let me preach. Hey.
Praise the Lord, and welcome to Vision. This is Evangelist Faith Reed. I'm so glad that you have tuned in with me tonight. We have been studying Your Life Has Purpose. Your Life Has Purpose. And tonight we will be looking at a topic called Consider the Ravens, Taking Life One Day at a Time. Consider the Ravens, Taking Life One Day at a Time. Bow your head with me and let us pray. Dear Lord, I just give You glory, honor, and praise. I thank You, Jesus, for this moment, this opportunity that I am able to praise Your name and bless You. I pray, O God, tonight that You would truly touch, move in a special way. O God, You are truly awesome in this place. And I just truly thank You for being so wonderful. O Lord, over and over again, You allow us to come together to fellowship in this manner. And Lord, I'm just truly grateful to You. I thank You, God, for all the things that You have done, oh God, in my life, in sustaining me, in sustaining my daughter and other family members. I thank You, Lord, for how You have truly been gracious to me and kind to me. And I pray, oh God, that You would truly remember those that listen to this program. I pray that You would bless them, bless their families. I pray for those around the world, oh God. You know the desires of their hearts. You know the intents of their hearts even before they do. Oh God, You know everything about us. And I pray, oh God, that You would truly remember families that are struggling, even the ones that are not struggling. God, just remember Your people. Father, remember those in the persecuted countries that have to pray and seek Your face under persecution. I pray, oh God, that You would give them the special strength that they need to make it another day. Truly, we realize, God, that we cannot make it without You. You are our life. You are our sustenance. And we thank You right now for Your kindness towards us. Father, You reveal Yourself to us over and over again, and we truly love You. Lord, I pray tonight, as we study Your Word, that You would truly speak to our hearts, open up our understanding, and Lord, give us Your knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. Father, we bless You right now. We honor You, and we say thanks to You. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, dear friend, I'm so glad for this opportunity to study the Word of God with you. Once again, as we open up our Bibles, we will start tonight with the book of Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, And we will be beginning at the first verse. And like I said, I want to continue the study tonight, Your Life Has Purpose. Because once again, as we look at the various things that surround us in society, sometimes it is easy to get off track. It is easy to allow ourselves to get distracted. But I want to encourage you to not get distracted by the things of the world, but understand this, that God has a purpose and a plan for your life. And even if he utilizes the things of the world, such as a business, you know, or some other thing, to be a blessing to you and to be a blessing to your family, remember that that thing is not your God, and that it is only a tool or a mechanism for you to use to give God glory. And so many times in our lives, we don't realize that we must take every day, one day at a time. We live in a fast-paced society. We are constantly trying to rush through this and rush through that. And I must admit, I'm from the Caribbean originally, from Jamaica, and Caribbean people are not in a hurry. And sometimes people will say to me that I operate on Caribbean time, and that can sometimes be true. But the thing about being on Caribbean time or doing things at your leisure, which is not always good because, of course, sometimes you have deadlines, but understand this, that those who seemingly are called being on Caribbean time, or, you know, they might say, you know, you're on a siesta time from, you know, Central America. Those people tend to be very relaxed, very unhurried, very even-paced in what they do. And God wants us to be temperate, you know, in control, to be balanced. In other words, we must learn to live purposeful lives, understanding that we must live one day at a time. One day at a time. Why? Because we tend to get so hurried, as I stated before, in this society that we forget that God wants us to learn to trust him one day at a time. Luke chapter 12, beginning at verse 1, it says, "In the meantime, when there were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they throwed one upon another, he began to say unto his disciples, first of all, Beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy." I do study from the King James Version, and so if your Bible says something a little bit different, mine is the King James Version. Verse 2 says, "For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known." And so verse 1 talks about the fact that there was a multitude of people following Jesus in so much so that they were, you know, practically stepping on each other, pushing each other down. And as you know, if you are a Bible scholar, that as soon as Jesus started his ministry and the miracles started happening, people were just bombarding him and following after him and practically running him down. Look at the bottom of verse 1. It says, "Beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy." But even though so many people followed Jesus, we don't know if all of them were sincere. Some of them might have just been following him to see how they could harm him. Some of them were following him just to be curious. We don't know who was actually, you know, serious, or who was someone like the Pharisees. And he always referred to the Pharisees as hypocrites. Verse 2 says, "For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Therefore, whatsoever ye have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light, and that which ye have spoken in the ear in the closet shall be proclaimed upon the housetops." Dear friend, I want you to know that whatever is hid, whether in your house or in your heart. There's nothing hid from God. And so whatever you need, just speak it out to God and let him know what is in your heart, because there's nothing that we can hide from God. Learn to live a life of purpose. Learn to live in a way where you know without a doubt that you are being led by God. And remember to take one day at a time. Look at verse 4. And I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will forewarn you whom you shall fear. Fear him which after he had killed had power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. So Jesus was warning them about the seasons that they were living in, the times that they were living in. He said, don't worry about someone who can kill your body and can't kill the real you, which is your soul. But fear him who can both kill the body and cast your soul into hell. Notice that he did not say that your soul just, you know, went into oblivion and just disappeared. But he said a person who has a soul, that soul has the ability to be cast into hell. Now that totally negates the concept that when a person dies, they just go to the grave and that's the end of it. Dear friend, when you leave this world, that is not the end of it. Your soul does go someplace. There is a place prepared for those who love God, and there is a place prepared for those who will not serve God. And so the Bible says don't fear another human being that you can see that can, you know, harm you or kill you, but fear one who is able to do even more than that, because your soul is actually the most important part. That's the part that can either go to heaven or go to hell. Look at verse 6. Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 farthings, and not one of them is forgotten before God? But even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. So God tells us that just like the sparrows that are sold for a little bit of money, and God remembers even the little sparrow that is sold for that little bit of money, remember that God knows every hair on your head. It is numbered. God sees all, and he knows all. He is omniscient. And so he has great value upon you. Now, let me rephrase it. When God made Adam and Eve in Genesis chapter 1, he declared that what he made was good. When he made the world, he declared that it was good. And so, even though everything in the world God made was good, God says, look, if I've said all of that is valuable, how much more don't you think that you are worth more than a bird? You know, sometimes we forget that God gave us dominion over the things of the earth. And so we should never allow the enemy of our souls to get us so depressed or down that we forget that we are more valuable than the other things, living things that God made in the world. Look at verse 8. Also I say unto you, whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. I'm looking at Luke chapter 12, verse 8. I'm going to read it one more time. Also I say unto you, whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. And so we know that angels stand before the throne of God, worshiping him day and night. And so the Bible tells us that whoever confesses God before men, so in other words, don't be ashamed of God. Don't be ashamed to tell people that you're a Christian. that you're a church woman or a church man. Don't be afraid to let your friends know that you have made up your mind to serve the true and the living God. Because if you confess God before men, he will also make sure that when you get ready to make it in, that he will also bring you before that host and let them know that he is proud of you for serving God. Look at verse 9. But he that denied me before men shall be denied before the angels of God. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine God turning his face away from you and saying, I don't even know you? I cannot imagine that. But, you know, that's exactly what will happen. If we are afraid to let people know that we love God, then he also will, you know, not present us in heaven and say, you know, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Look at verse 10. And whosoever shall speak a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But unto him that blasphemeth against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven. Many people do not understand this verse, and they use all types of things to say that that's blaspheming the Holy Spirit. But the truth is, a person who has been filled with the Holy Spirit, has been a Christian, has been walking with the Lord and serving him, when a person is filled with the Holy Spirit and they know they've made a commitment to Christ and they know all about the Holy Spirit, and then when they turn around and turn away from God and start to tell people that the Holy Spirit isn't real and that their experience with God was not real, that's when that person blasphemed the Holy Ghost. Because for you to say that you are a Christian and then turn away and say that you don't believe that the Holy Spirit exists, now that would be blaspheming the Holy Spirit. Look at verse 11. And when they bring you unto the synagogues and unto magistrates and powers, take ye no thought how or what thing ye shall answer or what ye shall say, for the Holy Ghost shall teach you in the same hour what you ought to say. Look at verse 13. And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisted not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. Now, as I stated, our topic tonight is, consider the ravens, taking life one day at a time, or should I say, learning how to take life one day at a time, or to live your life one day at a time. You see, this young man came to Jesus, and he was a little bit upset because his brother did not want to divide the inheritance with him. So apparently, his brother must have gotten the birthright, and he wanted to argue with his brother about the birthright and explain to his brother that he needed to fairly split their inheritance. And apparently the brother didn't want to do that. And so he came to Jesus asking for some help. But Jesus said, look at verse 15, and he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisted not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. So we see that people are constantly saying, oh, you've got to purchase this, you've got to purchase that. But a man's life consisted not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. So your life is not tied into your possessions. Your life is worth more than your possessions. And so if you have a great deal, that's fine. If you don't have much, that's fine. Your life is not tied in to how many cars you have, how many houses you own, how many yachts you have. Your life is not tied into all of that. Your life should be consistent of being grounded in the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 16. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease and eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that laid up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. So we see, dear friend, where the rich man, or it says a certain rich man in verse 16, his land did very well that year. He had a good harvest. And so he said, wow, you know, God has blessed me so much with all of this, you know, all of this grain. Rather than giving it to the poor and trying to be helpful to other people, he decided to just build a bigger barn. Now, it would have made sense for him to see if there were some needy people in his neighborhood that he could help, but that's not what he did with it. His excess went into a barn. He wanted to store up the excess instead of giving it to those who needed it. And so the Lord said, well, this day, your soul will be required of thee. What does that mean? That means that, okay, you didn't know that it was time for you to die, but I'm calling you home right now and you're going to die. And so he did. So, and what was the you know, essence of this story, the conclusion of the matter, verse 21, so is he that laid up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. So this very moment that this man decided to build him a bigger barn rather than trying to help the poor or the needy, the Bible says, or Jesus states that, you know, everyone who is like this is going to get the same result, meaning that they're going to try to store things up, but they're not going to live long enough to enjoy it. Because God wants us to be wise. He wants us to make good investments, but he doesn't want us to worship it. It's okay to have wealth, to have riches, but you cannot worship the wealth. You cannot worship the riches. You cannot worship your house or your car or any of the fancy things that you have inside of your house. And so here it is where this man had to go, and he did not realize he was going to go so quickly. Look at verse 22. And he said unto his disciples, this is Jesus, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, neither for the body, what ye shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? Consider the ravens. Don't you think that your life is more important to God than, you know, little birds? But yet God says, remember the ravens. Consider them. Think about it. God is able to feed and clothe, you know, those ravens. And when I say clothe, meaning that, you know, they have fluffy enough wings to keep them warm in the wintertime, but yet cool enough in the summertime. And God says, just like I take care of those birds in the air, I can take care of you. One day at a time, dear friend. Live one day at a time. Meaning that you know that sometimes you worry too much, you stress too much. Stop stressing over minute, small, little things. Stop stressing over things that you cannot change. But understand that God has great things in store for you. Your life does have purpose. Your life does have purpose. And I want you to know that if you would just take it one day at a time, you will see that God is working things out for you. You will see that just like he takes care of the ravens, that he can also take care of you. Look at verse 25. And which of you with taking thought can add to his stature one cubit? If ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow, they toil not, they spin not. And yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. You know, I've read this scripture many, many times, but it did not really have an impact to me, you know, in my heart, really, until I moved down here to Florida and, of course, started driving up and down on the highway. And a certain time during the spring, when you drive on the highway for miles and miles and miles, all you see are these pretty, bright pink flowers. And, of course, in some areas of the state, they have other beautiful flowers. But it is a wonderful thing when you drive by and you just see, you as far as the eye can see, all you see are the beautiful, matted, pink flowers just stretched out. And the first time I saw that, I immediately thought of that this scripture, how God himself clothed the grass, how God himself spreads out his glory in the field, you know. It was just so amazing to me to see it. And I was able to pause, not on the highway, but to pause in my mind and just reflect upon God's goodness and his love. Just reflect on how wonderful he is and the fact that although we are finite beings and he is infinite, meaning that we can only understand so much because our mind can only expand so much and comprehend so much. But although we are finite beings and we cannot begin to even fully comprehend the God himself, that God stretches out everything in front of us that we need, and he provides for every need that we have. And if we would just remember to take it one day at a time, we would understand that every need that we have, God has already provided. Everything that you have need of, God has already set it forth. He's already set the table before you. He's already said, come and dine with me, for I have everything that you need. Isn't it wonderful, dear friend, that everything that we have need of, God has already provided it. Look at verse 29. It says, and seek not, well, look at verse 28. If then God so clothed the grass, which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not ye what ye shall eat or what you shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. Over and over and over, Jesus tells his disciples not to doubt. Learn how to believe God. Learn how to trust God with the little things of your life. Learn how to walk by faith and not by sight. Learn how to have victory at all times. Amen and amen. Learn how to be victorious. You cannot always sit around and have a pity party. At some point in time, you've got to get up, dust your clothes off, and begin to praise God again. Too many people have pity parties, and all they need to do is learn how to put their trust in God and how to take every day, one day at a time. Verse 29 says, and seek not ye what ye shall eat or what you shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after. And your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. Dear friend, when you're living one day at a time, you're living with the understanding that God does see your need. God does understand what you're going through. and that he is going to provide everything that you have need of. Look at verse 31. I'm still in Luke chapter 12, verse 31. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that ye have, and give alms. Provide yourself bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You know, it's very interesting to see that Jesus did, in fact, at this time tell them to sell everything that they had. But this was a specific message given to his disciples, because at this time they could not travel and preach to all the world with too much stuff. You know that you cannot travel with too much luggage. At some point in time, some of that luggage is going to get heavy. And you're going to say, you know, perhaps I need to leave this bag with so-and-so. But then you go down the road and then you say, oh, I might have to leave this other bag with so-and-so. You see, you must understand that God wants to relieve your heavy burden. He wants to help you. He wants to guide you. But first and foremost, you must acknowledge that he is Lord and that he is Lord of your situation. All of us have things that we can be discouraged about, but you have to choose not to be discouraged. You have to choose to praise God. You have to choose to live every day as if it is your last day and give God your best. Give him your best behavior. Give him your best, you know, voice. And if you're a singer, give him your best artwork if you're an artist. Give him your best legal work if you're a lawyer. Give him your best medical work if you're a doctor. You know, there's so many things that we can do for God, but sometimes we do it half-heartedly. And God does not want us to work half-heartedly for him, but he wants us to do everything that we do for him with our entire hearts and our entire minds. He wants to bless us, but we must learn how to put our trust in God first. Because the Bible says in verse 34, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You know, and of course, this particular scripture verse has been, you know, interpreted in many, many different ways also. But the bottom line is what he was trying to tell them is, if your treasure is in Jesus, then your heart will be there also. And so we must invest our time and energy into our local church instead of just sending everything, you know, mailing everything away to someone who is not even near you. If you're going to give to your local pastor and that congregation. In addition to, you can always give your excess to other ministries. Amen. Verse 34 again, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Dear friend, where is your treasure? Where is your treasure? Have you invested in a local congregation? Are you tithing? Are you giving your offering? Are you praying for the pastor? Are you encouraging him or her? Are you holding their hands up? Are you helping them? You know, there are things that we could do at the local church to make things better or easier for our pastor. We can pray for him. We can encourage him or her. We can ask them if there's anything that I could do to assist you. You know, there are so many things at a local church that you can do, but first and foremost, you must be reminded that you must take life one day at a time. Turn with me again to 1 Kings chapter 17. 1 Kings chapter 17, it says, and Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. Now, we know who Elisha the Tishbite is. He was a prophet of God. And you have to be careful, because if he spoke something, you knew that it was going to happen. And so he spoke that it was not going to rain, because, of course, Ahab was, you know, really not doing the right thing. And so he was disobeying God. And so he told him it was not going to rain. And, of course, if you study this all the way out, you'll find that it did not actually rain for about 3 years. And so after giving that nice word, which actually, of course, was not that nice, to tell him and his people that they were not going to have rain. And why is it not a good message when someone tells you that it's not going to rain? Because grass needs rain. Plants need rain. Rivers need rains. Lakes need rain. The land needs rain. We have a food chain, and when the animals don't eat, then we don't eat, because the animals are going to die. And so unless you're a vegetarian, and even if you were a vegetarian, you would be hungry too, because, of course, no rain, no grass, no vegetables, no anything. And so after giving this little proclamation or declaration to Ahab, Elisha goes into hiding, because he knew that they were going to be angry at him and they were going to try to kill him. And so he went into hiding. Look at verse 2. It says, "And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there." Now, isn't that amazing? That God can have you in a place where even when you don't have the means to help yourself, he can, in fact, touch someone's heart and let them take care of you. Now, in this particular case, God actually used some birds. They were ravens. God used those ravens to feed Elisha. Let's continue on in verse 4. Actually, verse 5. "So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee unto Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain you." Now, isn't that interesting? First, he had ravens feed him. And now he brings him to the house of a widow. And he says, well, go to this widow, because, of course, her husband is not alive, because she's a widow. And he says, go and she will sustain you. Now, it had to be God, because a single woman inviting a man, of course she knew he was a prophet, but still, inviting a man into her home. Now, that's very interesting, because we know that it was dangerous back then for a woman living by herself to be inviting a man into the house. Well, let's look at verse 7. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. So here he was testing her faith because, you know, he approached her and just told her to give him something to drink. And look at verse 11. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, "Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand." And she said, "As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die." And Elijah said unto her, "Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fall or fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth." Now, isn't that something? Here he's sent to a widow woman who needed some help, and God told him to have her wait on him. And he didn't mind, he didn't complain, and so eventually we see that he did in fact, you know, talk to them, and of course we know that it started to rain after 3 years. So, one day at a time, God sent Elijah the Tishbite to the house of this woman, and it said that her food did not run out, her oil didn't run out. In other words, the oil was what she needed to help prepare that bread. It did not run out at all. I want you to know that if you put your trust in God, if you take it one day at a time, you too will be able to say, you know, "I've never seen my oil run out, my bread run out. I always have everything that I need." God is able to do that for you, dear friend. He is able to give you everything that you need. Remember that God loves you. Remember that your life has purpose. And remember that you need to remember or consider the raisins, and remember to live your life one day at a time. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto the Lord. And of course, our closing thoughts are: persistence is a key. Smile anyhow. Don't give up. There's no such thing as can. And what you believe, you can achieve. Dear friend, I don't know what goals you have set for yourself this year, but I want you to know that you need to put your, you can put your trust in Jesus, because truly what you believe, you will be able to achieve. And so we come to the conclusion of our teaching part of our program. I want to just give you one song to listen to. It says, "You Are Good." Truly the Lord is good, dear friend. His mercy does endure forever, and he loves you very, very much. And I hope that you will make up your mind to serve the Lord. There's a song that says, I've decided. As we get ready to close this program, I want you to know that God loves you very much. This is your season to be blessed, and I want you to just put your trust in the Lord, knowing that he loves you, he loves your family very much. And as I sign off for tonight, a little bit earlier, but I want you to know that God cares about you, he loves you, and I want to encourage you to do your best to serve God with all your heart and all your mind, and God will take care of the rest. God bless you. Second chance, too blessed to be stressed.
Ah! Let's say some of we blessed still with food. Me a friend of God said blessings are running back. Me a said blessed. Imagine cause I'm starving as a cup of rope. I want to be.
I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed.
I'm a priest. Hey!
Right now, man, you know, say me well blessed. In my life, a pure peace and happiness. In my face, man, you can't find no stress. Me love God, so not that me I confess. Jesus Christ, I'm a